Ini?
Kasur pergi. Cepat dah. Yang tak mampu imba. Ada lagi ni sabat atau jawab nasi. Kini, tiada benda tu yang wujud. Indusan eh? Ini? Tak depan bayar lah. Ini depan dengan orang di. Ini sendi siawan, sendi nyombe siawan lah cinta. Tapi di tujuh tanya leh. So tadi tujuh tanya leh ya. Ini jadi. Sem yang tak boleh main be siawan tu, song dia betul. Ini sem yang tak boleh loy dah sih. Ini wang lo, dah wang tu gugu ya le. So tak jelah ya yang tak boleh tuan jelah. Yang ni yang tu diber sih, kumber sih. Ini sem lah wang tu dosis boleh is itu tuan.
And also Tsongkhapa has stated in his great expositions of the stages of the path Lamrim Chemo that. He has given the true meaning or the definition of what is meant by meditative practice here. He says that normally the problem with us is that we let ourselves to be controlled by our thoughts and emotions, and our thoughts and emotions are driven by negative impulses and destructive impulses, and this then leads to a whole cycle of negative activity, and which is bringing about painful results such as sufferings and so on. So we continue to live in that kind of cycle. So what is required as part of the meditative practice is to try to reverse that cycle and bring about a change in that mechanism, that kind of causal nexus. So what is required is to ensure that our thoughts and emotions are controlled not by negative and destructive impulses, but rather by positive and healthy impulses, and this can only be done through cultivating constant familiarity with the right kind of attitudes, with the right kind of ways of thinking, and right kind of practices.
Generally
speaking, when we talk about meditation, it is important to bear in mind that there are different kinds of meditation. For example, from the nature of the meditation itself, there are those meditations where we focus our thoughts upon a particular object or a topic, and then we use it as an object and then reflect upon its nature or whatever. So that is one kind of meditation. And then there are other kinds of meditation where there is not so much focusing upon a particular object, but rather within that meditative state, you try to generate your thoughts in the meditative mind itself, the subject of the meditation itself, such as compassion and so on. So these are two different kinds of meditation. In one case, there is an involvement of focusing on an object. In another case, there is no relationship on a subject of an subject and an object, but rather cultivation of the mind in that particular state. And then in terms of the actual practice itself, and there are those kind of meditations which are more single-pointed and placing meditation, which are more absorptive and then remains focused and fused with the chosen object of meditation. And then there are others which are analytic, where single-pointedness and fusing with the object is not the key, but rather the analysis and penetrating into the deeper nature of that chosen subject is the key. So you have an analytic meditation, and you have a single-pointed or absorptive meditation.
Similar,
So, although to bring about a transformation within our thoughts and emotions, it is important to apply both the single-pointed meditation and also analytic meditation. But insofar as sort of having a real effect upon one's thoughts and emotions and cultivating a kind of a sense of deep rooted conviction and ascertainment within you, analytic meditation is much more powerful and effective. Then in the next verse, Tsongkhapa states, writes that when my heart bears the imprint of the Buddha's teachings through learning, reflection and meditation, may thoughts cherishing my own happiness and the thirst for existence vanish forever. So that he's emphasizing two points which should be the case as a result of your meditation. One is that of this life and the next life, the practitioner of Dharma should be able to relate, put a higher regard or greater significance to the concerns of the future lives, and between self and others, the practitioner should be able to put greater significance to the well-being of others. And in the next six verses, the prayer is related to the six perfections.
땅교수 집에서는 신전주야마도 신하를 찾으시면 삼으러 올 텐데, 저기, 삼으로 숙신 뒤토나, 아니, 신빌레로 명하래. 어디로 보네? 다, 레로 남았음, 군에 봐도 준비 삼으셨어. 대네, 시든는데 상동도 없다, 대, 신에다, 신에, 신에 디셔로 가지고 숨겨다, 디, 시든는데 상동 숨기자네, 아니, 시고 코에 타, 디, 세약이, 흥년분들이 뚱이라고 나와있는 말이에요. 자연상가 상동을이야, 지도어도가 상동도, 진입어도가 상동, 이해가 있잖아요. 다, 지도어도가 상동, 치지발로가 지금 뭐죠? 아니, 시드년도 말이에요. 그래서 님이 이르잖아요. 시드년도에, 아니, 지도어도가 상동기, 더더 태워왔어. 더더 태워왔지. 대네, 시드년도에 인질랜지 왠지. 니지 삼바면, 뚱이도가 따와지고, 곰니, 예니, 곰방군도 주인이잖아, 니몽방통이 아래, 니몽배트가 세통이 아래, 니몽방배 채와, 뭐도 채인데, 예니, 가서 그게 니몽방배다, 가서 탈바세 차그래. 다 델레야, 니지 삼바면, 예니, 니몽방배 채와, 이익미야, 예니, 배트가 가서 참, 대대하지, 용씨입니다. 용기입니다. 델레야, 시외타로 통화, 쓰기 아래. 지나다 시설은 민네바디 가르쳐왔는데 닝지 쪼닝지 체험이야래. 그래서 네 이모인데 시설년배 닝지 랜에 매우체 너 진지게 타네 다 스페셜 시벌 한번 쉐바이 쌤 쓰시고 이하르다 친구 있잖아 대회 쌤 쓰시고 쌤 탕 셀 미도고 쓰시고 쉐바이 쉐바이 타고 여바이니 닝지 삼바매는 디 시대인이 몰려들고 요 말에 뚱이도가 따와매나 지도도가 상도매나 시고 코에인이 몰려있게 도구 요 말에 디네임에 인도사네 디네임에 쓸데시고 디 아니 감콩리야 계약이 둘두 요리 너나 시고 코알이야 시고 코에 당원도 양차가지도 토야기 미유에 대해서 차별이 있어 아니 시고 코알로 코야기 둘에마도 군중 랑가와래마도 아니 코알에 답수야 요 말에 디네임에 인도사네 해진 씨를 한번 재배이지. 신의 반대 중지 공부쇼스. 때는 지금 3대 당구, 3대 2번, 3대 수번, 10번. 때는 사과를, 때는 숙미기, 나가타에, 남시타에, 지연미. 때는 쓰지. 때는 그 선들 때리, 신앙을 나빠진 걸 한국 사대요, 아래. 랑살을, 스님이도 다 공살을 쉬워. 랑살을 라고할 때로. 랑살의 집에 있느니, 랑살을 쉬워. 공살이야. 라고할 때니. 대내기니 재외산에 아니 랑사보다 공사들이 시월이야 때내 통내 들리려다 아 가서 우리 그 쌍문도 전력이 아니 왁사스님도 랑사스님도 대기 유모 됐다가 유모 문주와 다시 뉴스 유모 문주와 근데 가다 싸워모 오메 유모라고 문주어도 자리야 아 년부 때니 리심하고 소통해 버리 리심 문주하면 잘통해 버리 어떻게 지내는 상도성교가 되니 시버코코야 교제마다 여기 있니 남진 하자 타워토야 교제 누구야 말이지 시선들은 상도도 됐어야 돼 다와 대대비 아니 신의 방대시 숭지 거부셔서다 강다 있는 숭 가서 대월에서는 또 뚱이도가 다와 성교야 신에다 지도도가 상도 숭도 되어버려 이제 성교야 되네 어떻게 해야 되고 지켜야 돼
So in the next six verses, the prayers related to the practice of the six perfections, it begins with verse number 17, which reads that destroying miserly thoughts through detachment from all things that I possess, may I give material help to others and benefit them with the gift of dharma. In the verse 18, we read this relates to the practice of generosity and giving, the perfection of giving. Next, in verse 18, we read, By observing until full enlightenment, even the smallest precepts in the spirit of renunciation, and not compromising them even at the cost of my life, may I fly the victory banner of spiritual freedom. This relates to the practice of the perfection of morality. And then verse 19, When I see, hear, or have thoughts of beings who insult me, beat me, or have hated me, May I be free of anger and always express their good qualities, practicing tolerance. So this relates to what I spoke about earlier as free of anger being the essence of the practice of tolerance. And then in verse 20 we read, may I abandon the three types of laziness which obstruct the attainment of new virtues and undermine those already attained. May I thus develop perseverance. So three types of laziness here refers to one, procrastination. This refers to the kind of the laziness that we often have, that we are simply kind of not able to sort of, you know, motivate ourselves into engaging in the practice, whatever task it may be. And that procrastination is very natural. That is the first kind of laziness. And then the second kind of laziness is what is called indulgence in unhealthy activities. And from the practitioner's point of view, this would also include our being totally preoccupied and caught up in a kind of a never-ending cycle of insignificant chores, so much so that we have never any time for ourselves. So from the practitioner's point of view, even such state is considered to be a form of laziness, and it's called the laziness of indulgence in negative activity. And then the third kind of laziness is the laziness derived through lack of confidence or being discouraged or demoralized. And so the first two kinds of laziness can be overcome by for example, the laziness of procrastination and laziness of indulgence in frivolous activity or negative activity. These two can be overcome by sort of reflecting deeply on the destructive nature of the negative emotions and thoughts, and also the suffering nature of our existence, gaining insight into the suffering. These will help us overcome the first two levels of laziness. And as to the third level of laziness, where although the person may not be procrastinated, person may be willing to do something, the person may also be not caught up in a never-ending cycle of frivolous, insignificant activity, but simply the person has no sense of confidence. There is the person is kind of there is a real kind of weakness at deep down, and that kind of laziness can be overcome first by reflecting upon the fact that all of us possess the seed for enlightenment, the Buddha nature, and also. And also, another important antidote to overcome that kind of lack of self-confidence and this being in a totally demoralized state, one of the most effective methods, in addition to contemplating the Buddha nature, but is the teachings we find in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, where Nagarjuna makes the point that if you are undergoing a painful experience, something that you do not desire, then even the experience may last for a very short moment of time, there seems to be a sense that, you know, this is, you know, it's an eternal, you know, it never seems to end. That feeling of unbearableness and the sense that it is very long is there when you are undergoing an experience that is not voluntarily adopted and that's something that is undesirable. Whereas if Nagarjuna makes the point that if, on the other hand, if you voluntarily accept something, voluntarily engage in something with joyfulness, then time factor, how long it takes, doesn't really make much difference. For example, Shantideva writes in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhicharya Avatara, where he expresses this powerful sentiment that may, as long as space remains and as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. Once you start cultivating these kind of powerful sentiments with a courage that you are prepared to remain, if necessary, for eons and eons, and dedicate your life for the benefit of other sentient beings, then there will be a tremendous courage within you, so that even if it takes eons and innumerable eons, there is no feeling of unbearableness. In fact, your sentiments would be such that you have a kind of a sense of settledness, and you have a sense of definity that my sole purpose of my survival, my sole purpose of my existence, is to be of service to others, whether directly, indirectly, whether it is day or night. The sole purpose of my existence is to be of benefit of other sentient beings. It is the service of other sentient beings. Once you have that kind of single-pointed, dedicated, altruistic sentiment, then even if it takes eons and eons, that time wouldn't make any difference to you, so far as your own courage is concerned. So these kind of reflections will help you overcome the third level of laziness, which is the laziness derived through lack of self-confidence. And then in the next verse, Tsongkhapa writes that discarding mere tranquil abiding of mind, the ground for samsaric rebirth, which lacks the insight outshining existence and the moist of compassion surpassing peace, may I practice the union of calm abiding and insight. So here Tsongkhapa is referring to the fact that the mere cultivation of tranquil abiding in itself is not adequate, because tranquil abiding on its own, absent or devoid of the penetrative insight into the ultimate nature of reality, the insight into emptiness, the tranquil abiding on its own, isolated from such insight, cannot lead you away from the samsaric existence. In fact, it can become a cause for further rebirth, perpetuation of the cycle of rebirth. For example, there are higher levels of meditative states of mind, such as the first, second, the third, and the fourth form realms, and also the formless realms, and even the highest form of mundane meditative state, which is known as the peak of existence. All of these meditative states are a very highly refined form of tranquil abiding. They are a very highly refined form of single-pointedness of mind. And some of them, in fact, have the insight element, but not insight into emptiness, but insight in the analytic sense. But still, when they are all divorced of the insight into emptiness, then they become another factor for continuation and perpetuation of existence in samsara. So therefore, he makes the point that the line which lacks the insight outshining existence, because it is the insight into emptiness that cuts the chain for existence in samsara. And then he states that alone is not adequate. So he says that the moist of compassion surpassing peace. So here he is talking about another kind of extreme. So even if your tranquil abiding of mind is complemented with the wisdom factor, but if it lacks the complementary factor of bodhicitta and compassion, and then it will only lead to freedom from suffering, but not to the attainment of highest enlightenment. And one therefore falls into the extreme of what is known as the extreme of peace, isolated peace. There is a danger that when one attains nirvana or liberation, one becomes totally immersed in the bliss of that state. And therefore, it is the compassion that enables the practitioner to transcend that extreme or that abyss of isolated peace. And therefore he says that, may I practice the union of calm abiding and insight.
Oh yeah.
We will now go back to three principal aspects of the path.
That is the Nehru Guna, right?
So in verse 9, we read that you may master renunciation and the wish, but unless you have the wisdom perceiving reality, you cannot cut the root of cyclic existence. May effort in ways then to perceive interdependence or dependent origination. So what is being pointed out here is that if you lack the insight into emptiness, if you lack the perfect view of emptiness, even if you have true renunciation and the altruistic intention, it is not possible to attain liberation from samsara. There is a great significance to the last line of this verse where Tsongkhapa says that therefore make efforts and ways to perceive interdependence. I think there's a typo here. It reads may, but I think it should be make efforts and ways then to perceive interdependence. There's a great significance here for Tsongkhapa not writing make efforts and ways then to perceive emptiness, but rather to say make efforts and ways then to perceive the dependent origination, the nature of dependent origination. Tsongkhapa is making the point that the true understanding of emptiness must be such that your understanding of emptiness takes place in terms of your understanding of dependent origination. And this is a very important point Tsongkhapa makes. And also we find in Tsongkhapa's praise of dependent origination, in praise of the Buddha for teaching dependent origination, in praise of the Buddha for teaching dependent origination, he writes that, I pay homage to the one who, on the basis of his own insight, taught us the principle of dependent origination. And so in Tsongkhapa's writings, he repeatedly emphasizes the point of the equation between emptiness and dependent origination. This is not to say that the realization of the actual percept cognition of dependent origination is exactly the same as the actual cognition of emptiness. Rather, what he's stating here is that your understanding of emptiness must be such that it takes place in terms of your understanding of dependent origination, so that when you have the perfect understanding of emptiness, then your understanding is such that it will be able to transcend both the extremes of nihilism and absolutism.
Jimmy, 지금 시간에 전쟁이 때 가서 러지야 민주마 또 사산이 내당에 해띠 내당에 근데 아니 지금 시간에 대인이 당하고만 인공 우면 당인 공지 여러시에 아니 그게 이제 자면 셋이 거래 이제 자면 안 돼 지금 시간에 내 당하디 아니 다 우면 당하다 대 인공 이가서 인공을 공지 아니 내 당하디 타란 거 당 가리 나서 쉬우나 이거 지금 자면 이 관련돼 강한 민수원에 전주에 당할 리가 없나다. 얼마이네? 이 우면 당하는 지지 말라고 돼. 간단히나 주자네. 이 주자네 책 타고 쓰고 지금 가실 수 없어. 이 순두자네. 이 고구민도 좀 미꾸라. 주자네. 아니 개 지금 말해. 소시시 나타베 중국 천배 중심은 있다. 그래. 이 뜻이도 나. 아니 대장 뭐인데? 아니 지금 사다라마는 써왔다. 아니 싸잖아. 이 순 숨지기 타네. 아니 윤생나 림불 미터고. 아니 내한테 샤샤베 치디디기 디미도 붙이니. 아니 동자 땡중 고와 투모 뭐인데 누구니 자기 도토도 스티송도가. 사실 이 민수 이 젊은 시기 나와. 아니 제가 우리 지 숨을 잡아놔야지. 왜도 무지나. 아니 대단님도 우리 상상이 쉬우시고 싶나. 여가 끌리야. 아니 근데 지금 안에 아니 비트벌리드 차리지 마시 여기 끌리야. 아니 어디 동도 띵용세하게 투모임을 고하지 이제 잠시 통해 대대로 어디 투모임을 고하지 투모임에 아니 어디 떠박거리지 켜서야 르무심이 뛰어서 손들여야 돼. 아니 연대 차동 통마송스 이내에도 멋이 고르야 연대 드시 통하니 아니 겨와서 모르 공부도 우세 소시해서 되니 되도와 어차피 어디 되긴 그래.
So the understanding of emptiness in terms of dependent origination has been repeatedly emphasized by Tsongkhapa, and in fact Tsongkhapa really developed a unique way of relating the understanding of emptiness in relation to the dependent origination. We find that, for example, and this is really grounded in the writings of great Indian masters such as Chandrakirti. We find in Chandrakirti's supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamaka Avatara, where he says that with the reasoning of dependent origination, one is then able to cut all the threads of wrong views, false views. So he again emphasizes the reasoning of dependent origination. And then similarly, we find in Tsongkhapa's, in praise of dependent origination, he states that it is with the reasoning of dependent origination, then one is able to find the middle way, transcending both the extremes of absolutism or eternalism and nihilism. So here what we see is a repeated emphasis on the need to cultivate insight into emptiness through the reasoning of dependent origination, so that your understanding of emptiness takes place in terms of dependent origination. And this is grounded again in Nagarjuna's teachings, where we find in Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, Mula Madhyamaka Karika, where Nagarjuna makes the following statement. He says that whatever is that which is dependently originated is has been taught by the Buddha to be empty, and that too is dependently designated, and this is the true middle way. So what we find here is again an equation between emptiness, dependent origination, and dependent designation, and the middle way. The true middle way is that is that transcends both extremes of absolutism or eternalism and nihilism. And this is again grounded in the sutra, the teachings of the Buddha himself, where Buddha says that whatever comes into being as a result of causes and conditions is absent of independent reality. And that which is absent of independent reality has the nature of this dependence. So again, there is an equation between dependent origination and emptiness. So, and even the very etymology of the term dependent origination, the Tibetan Tenjung, which is composed of two syllables, gives the idea of this middle way. For example, dependent suggests that things do exist. Dependent suggests that things are devoid of an independent nature, independent reality. So the term dependent precludes any possibility of an absolute reality, any possibility of an independent reality. So thus, freeing one's thought from falling into the extreme of absolutism. And origination gives the idea of things coming into being as a result of aggregation of various factors. So the very term origination enables the person to free one's thought from the possibility of falling into the extreme of nihilism, believing that nothing exists. So that in the very etymology of the term dependent origination, there is the idea of the true middle way that is free from both eternalism and nihilism. And and similarly, we find in Nagarjuna's writing in the Ratnavali, the precious garland, where he subjects the person to analysis and trying to find what the true essence of the person is, and then goes on to say that person is neither the earth element, nor the water element, nor the fire element, nor the wind element, nor this, nor that. And then finally, once all this sort of dissection is completed, he does not write the conclusion saying that therefore a person is devoid of intrinsic reality. Rather, what he says is that person therefore exists in dependence upon the aggregation of various factors. And this has a very important significance. Again, he equates the origination of the person as a dependent reality to the fact that person is devoid of independent existence. And so when you think in this way, then you will be able to relate all of these various masters' thoughts, such as Tsongkhapa, Chandrakirti, Nagarjuna, and the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra itself, all of these in a way which, you know, there arises a very profound and deep understanding and subtle understanding of the meaning of dependent origination. So when you relate to that, then you will realize that Tsongkhapa's earlier understanding of emptiness during his early stages of development, where he had the view that the emptiness, ultimate nature of reality, is neither this nor neither that, that kind of nothingness, we now see that it is an incomplete understanding because he hasn't been fully able to penetrate the dependent nature of reality. And relate to this story, to complete this story, around that time, in the early stages of the development of Tsongkhapa's understanding of the perfect view of emptiness, when he was still at the stage where he felt that the profound view of emptiness was the suspension of thought and non-thinking of neither this nor that, at that point he felt that he had now gained deep insight into emptiness, and he is said to have around that time mystical visions of Manjushri, encounters with Manjushri. And during one of these encounters, Tsongkhapa is said to have asked Manjushri, thinking that he had a Madhyamaka's understanding of emptiness, he then asked Manjushri, and describing his own understanding of emptiness as he perceives it, and says, and asked Manjushri, the standpoint that I have arrived at, is it that of the Madhyamaka Prasangika or Madhyamaka Svatrantika? That it was a Madhyamaka view, he had no doubt. But to his surprise, Manjushri listened and then said that it's neither the standpoint of Svatrantika nor is it the standpoint of Prasangika. It's in fact not the Madhyamaka standpoint. And then Tsongkhapa said, if that is the case, how can I deepen my understanding of emptiness? And what exactly is the perfect view of emptiness? And Manjushri then gave a teaching to Tsongkhapa in a very cryptic few lines. And when Tsongkhapa listened to those teachings and informed Manjushri that he cannot understand, Manjushri told him, do not worry. What is required is now for you to engage in a detailed contemplation on the major treatises of the great masters such as Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Buddhapalita, and that kind of deep analysis and contemplation of their writings. It is important, and what I have given you here, the few lines, should serve as the key for you to open this treasure of the great literature, and then this should be combined with making constant prayer and invoking the inspirations of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and this should be combined also with many purification activities of accumulating merits and purification of negativity. So if you combine all these three, that is the study of these great treatises, making prayers and evoking inspirations of the great masters and great beings, and then engaging in purification activity and accumulation of merits, then you will be able to really experience within you the true understanding of the perfect view of emptiness. And Tsongkhapa engaged in all of these.